Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this morning maybe sounds like it would be a fitting sermon text for the installation of a new pastor, commissioning that new pastor for his role of service as the leader of God's people, especially the spokesperson of God, proclaiming God's word among God's people. And although that's certainly very true, this would be very fitting to preach at such an occasion, it's also good for all of us Christians to reflect on as well. To think about, yes, the role that God has called our pastors to fulfill, to serve us and others with his word, but also the role that God has called each Christian to fulfill as well. As we hear Jesus commissioning not only his 12 disciples, but all believers who followed him to go and gather disciples from all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And yes, we certainly see that, especially the act of baptizing for the sake of good order in the church, most regularly carried out by the pastor whom God has called to serve his people. Yet all of us have a role to play in teaching God's truths to those around us, proclaiming to all the people that God has placed into our lives, our families and friends and neighbors and co-workers, proclaiming to them the good news of God's love. And so as we see God's call to Ezekiel today, we see what exactly is it that are the marks of a successful servant and messenger of God, whether full-time as a pastor or whether just in our daily lives as any Christian should do. And so we see in our reading that God considers those spokesperson full-time or part-time as successful who faithfully present to others his own word, God's word, as he has revealed it to us in the Bible. Let's go back and look at the life of Ezekiel and the situation into which he was called to serve God and God's people. The year was 592 BC, almost 600 years before the birth of Jesus. And at this time, some of the people of Judah, of the southern part of the kingdom of God's people, had already been taken away into captivity in Babylon. And the final fall and destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem was still several years away. And in spite of the warnings, the many warnings that God had given his people through his prophets, such as Isaiah, Amos, Micah, and Hosea, the people of Judah still had remained impenitent and obstinate against God's word and his will. According to the words that we read in our text, the Lord God describes the people of Israel as a nation of rebels, rebellious people. They were rebels in the sense that just like their first ancestors, our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, they had chosen to go their own way instead of following God's way and his will. The people of Israel had continually transgressed God's law. They had overstepped the boundaries that God had established in his word. They had broken the covenant that God had made with them through Moses on Mount Sinai. The people of Israel, of Judah, were insolent and stubborn before God. They were hard-hearted and set in their evil ways. And so as a result, God warned them through his messengers that they were subject to God's wrath and punishment. And so we come to Ezekiel. He was one of those who had been taken to Babylon in the year 597 BC. And while in Babylon, God called on Ezekiel to go and to prophesy to his people, those who were already in exile in Babylon, and also to send messages back to those who remained in Judah and Jerusalem. In the verses preceding our text in chapter 1, Ezekiel is pictured as one who was overwhelmed by a vision of the glory of God. We read that Ezekiel fell to the ground in awe and reverence. And then God spoke to Ezekiel, saying, "Son of man, stand on your feet." That term of reference that God used to refer to Ezekiel, "son of man," appears 90 times throughout the book of Ezekiel. as the regular way in which the Lord addresses the prophet Ezekiel. And we don't know exactly why, but we can guess that God used that term to remind Ezekiel that he, God, is the creator. And that Ezekiel, as a descendant of Adam and Eve, is a sinful human being in God's sight. That God, the creator, the sinless and holy God, was calling a mortal human being, a sinner, to be his representative to his people. God, the creator, was commissioning one of his creatures to be his spokesperson. So the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand, go, proclaim." And we see that the Spirit of the Lord entered Ezekiel and enabled him to stand. The Spirit of the Lord empowered Ezekiel to go and to proclaim God's message. The Lord didn't send Ezekiel to go and proclaim his own ideas and thoughts. No, the Lord told his prophet, "You shall say to them, this is what the Lord God says." In the older King James Version phrasing, "Thus saith the Lord." And the Hebrew words for that phrase, "Thus says the Lord," appear over 120 times just in the book of Ezekiel. And so they indicate by that multiple repetition that the prophet Ezekiel himself was aware that the source of his message was not himself, but it was God. So those words are a frequent reminder that the prophet Ezekiel spoke to God's people with the authority of God himself. And as we see in that statement of God, and as he speaks with Ezekiel, he refers to himself as the Lord God. And so there's a significant meaning in the combination of those words as well. That term Lord is Adonai in Hebrew. It points to God as the master, the creator, the one who is in charge of all creation, the head of his people. And the word that's translated here as God is God's personal name. Sometimes we say Yahweh or Jehovah when we transliterate the sounds into English. That's a reference to God as the one who has always existed and will always exist, and therefore he is perfectly faithful to all of his promises. He is the God of never-failing grace who will keep his promise of salvation. And so this term of reference for God serves as a reminder to Ezekiel and to all who heard him proclaim this message from God, that this is the God who created the whole world and who created each one of them. This is the God who powerfully rescued his people from their slavery in Egypt through those miraculous signs of the 10 plagues, the Passover lamb that saved them from that plague of death, the parting of the waters of the Red Sea to rescue them on dry ground from the pursuing army of Pharaoh. And so the people who heard and read the message of the Lord God through Ezekiel, they were to understand that they were not dealing with a weak and powerless God like so many of the false gods that the peoples around them worshipped. No, they were dealing with the one true God, the maker of all things. Or rather, we might say that the Lord is dealing with them. The words, "Thus saith the Lord," were also intended to call the people to accountability and repentance. We see this intention of God in such passages as Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, where God says to Ezekiel, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" Ezekiel also had the privilege of portraying and proclaiming the Lord as the shepherd of his people. In chapter 34, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when some of his sheep have been scattered abroad, so I will seek out my sheep. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, says the Lord God." And so we think there especially about our Savior Jesus, the great good shepherd of the sheep, who came down from his heavenly throne to live here in humble circumstances among sinful people, ultimately to give up his life to rescue us, his lost sheep. But the Lord gave his prophet no assurance or promise that the people that God was sending him to would heed those words of warning from God or would accept God's gracious invitation of repentance and forgiveness. The Lord had called and commissioned Ezekiel to proclaim God's holy message. But the success of that proclamation, of that message, depended on the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who heard it. And the failure of anyone to heed God's word would be the fault of that own person. The authority of God's word would make Ezekiel's hearers understand that a prophet of God, a true messenger of God, had been in their midst. And so they would recognize that Ezekiel was God's inspired messenger. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we see that Ezekiel did rise. He did go. He did proclaim the message that God had called him to. For over 20 years, he prophesied God's word to God's people. He proclaimed God's message in the midst of that stubborn and obstinate people. And so in God's eyes, whether the people listened to him or not, whether they heeded Ezekiel's message and repented of their sins or not, Ezekiel was successful because he had done what God called him to do, proclaiming God's word to God's people. And now as we flash forward more than 2,500 years to today, we see that the people of today have not changed very much at all from the people at Ezekiel's time. The truth that people are still rebellious, obstinate, and sinful is brought home to us daily in newspaper and magazine and TV and radio news reports. The media report occurrences of murder, of theft, robbery, and other forms of violence. According to God's word, such acts are not only an affront to our fellow human beings, but they are also acts of rebellion in God's eyes. They are sins against a holy and righteous God. And God warns us that the justice of a holy God demands full payment of punishment for all such sins. But unfortunately, not only the names of notorious criminals are reported in the news as committing such crimes, but also very often the names of people who claim membership in a Christian church all too frequently are included in the lists of people involved in acts of violence and rebellion and lawlessness. In fact, all of us, whether our sins make it into the news reports or not, all of us, through our sins and transgressions, are guilty. We are liable before God, since as he says in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Since the days of God's prophets in the Old Testament, God has continued to send messengers to proclaim his word to people everywhere. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, God has given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And so today in our Lutheran churches, we call men to serve as pastors and women to serve as Christian teachers and staff ministers and evangelists. And while pastors don't receive direct revelation from God as God's prophets in the Old Testament did, they still have been called and commissioned by God to proclaim God's message to God's people. God's pastors today, his messengers, are called to derive their authority, their message, from the Word of God itself, from the Old and New Testament of the Bible. And pastors and all Christians today need the reminder, as Ezekiel did, that they are not the Creator. They are merely creatures created by God. Like all people, we are by birth and by our actions sinners, and in need of God's pardon and forgiveness. As believers in Jesus, we are now both holy and righteous in God's sight, but also still having a sinful nature which expresses itself in sinful actions and words and thoughts, and for which we need God's forgiveness each day, just as we proclaim that same forgiveness to others. And so the main function of a pastor today and of all Christians who have been called to participate in that work of making disciples of all nations is to proclaim the message from God. Thus says the Lord, just as Ezekiel proclaimed to God's people. In his great commission, our risen and resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus directed his apostles and all members of his church to teach people everything that they have learned from him. And so that means that pastor and people will need to take the time to study the will of God in his word, as it has been revealed by God to us through his messengers in the Old and New Testament. This word of God, the Holy Bible, is the rule and norm of all of our teaching and preaching. Pastor and people, look to God's word for direction and instructions on how we should faithfully fulfill this assignment that God has entrusted to us. As we look back to Ezekiel and God's call to him, implied in those words, thus says the Lord, is the understanding that the pastor and people of the church together with him will proclaim the full counsel of God, all of the word of God. We'll proclaim God's law so that the Holy Spirit will convict sinful people of their accountability before God. Pastor and people will proclaim also the good news of God's forgiveness and pardon through Jesus the Savior, so that the Holy Spirit might work through that gospel message to lead people to throw themselves at the mercy seat of God, to turn to him for grace and every blessing, for full forgiveness and for eternal salvation. And the pastor, on behalf of God's people, will administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper for that tangible assurance of God's love and forgiveness and salvation. The pastor regards as his privilege and responsibility to publicly proclaim and teach and apply God's word to God's people in worship, in Bible class, in confirmation class, in shut-in visits and hospital visits. The pastor and people need to remember that it is the Holy Spirit's work to convert the heart of a sinner to believe in Jesus as the Savior. And so we must realize that just as God counseled Ezekiel that some people will gladly hear God's word and believe in him as their Savior, but others may not. Others may reject it, and in fact, some may react with hostility, even with violence, because they are so resistant to hearing this message from God accusing them and calling them to repent of their sins. They're so resistant to having any authority over them, telling them what to do or what to believe in their lives. But no matter what the reaction might be when we proclaim God's word to others, God calls us to be faithful proclaimers of his word. And as we do so, God assures us that people will know that a messenger of God's truth has been among them, whether they listen or whether they refuse to listen. And so the Lord's intent for people today is the same as it was in the days of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 18, we read God say, "Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, and not rather that they turn from their ways and live?" And in the New Testament, God says the same thing through his apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2. "This is good and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." But since there are so many false prophets, people who claim to be messengers of God, proclaiming a message of God in the world today, it's very necessary for pastor and people to compare every message that we hear, whether it's here within the walls of this church or whether it's out beyond in books and in print and on the internet, to compare whatever we hear and read to what is recorded in God's word itself, in the Bible. Think about it on one of Paul's missionary journeys to the people in Berea, that he commended them for their faithfulness. He says that they received the word, the message that Paul was proclaiming with great eagerness, but they didn't immediately believe it. First, they listened to what Paul was saying, and then they went back to their homes and they compared what he said to what they had known and read from their Bibles, from the Old Testament. And as they did so, as they made that comparison and evaluated Paul's message, they found that everything that Paul was proclaiming about Jesus being the Savior, the fulfillment of God's promises in the Old Testament to send a Savior, was true. And so they believed on the basis of God's word. And God calls us to do the same, to evaluate every message that we hear according to the standard of his holy word, the Bible. And so a faithful messenger of God's word will portray God as holy, just, and angry over sin, but also as loving, forgiving, merciful, and kind. Pastor and people, faithfully by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the word of God, are daily led to repentance of our own sins and to trust in God's mercy and forgiveness. Faithful people joyfully and willingly become prophets in our own right, not as full-time ministers of the gospel, but as people who have been called by God, who have received this wonderful good news of God's salvation through Jesus, and whom God has called now to share that message with those around us in our lives. And so we do that. We share it with our relatives, with our neighbors, coworkers, and friends. And we tell them about the joy and the comfort and the peace that we have received, knowing that God has forgiven our sins and promised us eternal life with him in heaven. And so we carry out that commission that God has given to us. We proclaim God's word without fear. Amen.